Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 446 of a very special Overseas Connection podcast. It is an Extra Life special podcast. It is November 2nd, 2017. We are just days away from the Extra Life kickoff. If you don't know what Extra Life is, that is a gaming charity that supports the Children Miracle Network of Hospitals, basically doing a lot of good work for a lot of kids that need a little extra help. Facing some tough things in life. So today, this is going to be all really about Extra Life. A little bit of fun here and there, but we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about Extra Life and what we're going to be doing for the upcoming 24-hour gaming marathon. I am one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. You'll be able to find me on Mixer. You'll be able to find me on Twitch as well. Joining the podcast today, we have a full room. I'm going to start with my very right, the monkey with the tongue out. That would be Robin Tate.
Yeah, that would be me, another sucker that's going for 24 hours for smelly children. It's that special time of year where we really get enthusiastic with all our preparations for Extra Life and use. For the last days, you've been working on your streaming facilities and how you're going to televise all of this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm going to wind my elastic band up a wee bit tighter and see if I can talk to you for 24 hours straight.
Throw an extra hamster in the wheel.
Don't have the bandwidth. But it's great. Look, I'm really looking forward to it. It's amazing how quickly it comes around. So let's raise money for lots of kids. Let's do it. We're doing so well so far. So it's great. Our team has expanded this year, and it's great to have more people in there. So let's go. Let's go. Let's do it.
Let's go indeed. I'm going to move right across the way from you, Robin. I feel like I'm looking at a Brady Bunch, by the way, the intro to the Brady Bunch. I've got all these different pictures, these squares of people. I've got Miss Kim Woods on the podcast as well. Kim, this is your second Extra Life, I believe.
No, this is my third? Fourth or fifth.
Yeah. Oops, sorry.
Way to go, Tank Talk. Yeah. Easy Christmas.
And I think I just kind of killed Kim's feed.
Uh-oh.
No, she's all right.
Is it my feed that's getting killed?
No, she's all right.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I need to join the team.
All right, that would be my feed. That'd be my feed. Apologies.
I'll put the link in the chat.
Anyway.
Sorry, we're having private conversations here on your podcast, Greg, so it's all right.
Gremlins are a little.
It's just my podcast, apparently. Yes.
Yeah.
They are. They are running around in the attic. I hear them all the time.
You need a shotgun?
I do. I do.
You're just out of practice. You're just bloody useless at this. You're rusty.
No. I think I've acquired Robin's connection for the internet.
Oh.
Run by hamsters, fed on potatoes. Potato. I can do my
do
own.
Do it, Mark.
Potato!
Don't do it, Mark.
Potato!
You're slipping
that.
Up. This wanker. Mark, you didn't.
That's American for wanker.
You didn't post your facetious, nasty Mexican meme this
I've
week.
I've not seen one for a while. I just get them off Facebook. Mexican word of the day.
There is time, Robin. There is time.
There was even one for Kim the other week.
Yeah, well.
Well.
Fully accept I'm a redneck. It doesn't bother me.
Gotta embrace it. Also on the podcast this week, we have Mr. Big Bad Daddy, Richard Webster.
I can't join the team. I'm trying to join the team.
What do you mean?
the VG Hub, it won't let me join.
Why? Is there a limit to how many people can be on?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's telling me I have to register again. Do I have to register again?
Well, are you already? Are you?
No, because you've already got donors, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm registered at myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, then you're off the podcast. So no.
Fuck you guys. Boom. Ah, I'm on my own.
That's all right. Yeah. So not a worry, Rich. You're still part of it. So what
I'll tell you
here,
who hasn't registered. Mike Chin hasn't registered.
Yeah. That guy.
He's trouble. Clipping register. His secretary needs to get on to it. No,
he's
stat.
Suck.
What a piece
he's
of work.
A hipster. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, guys, I'm Richard. Hi.
Hi. I'm Robin. Hi. Yeah, hello.
Mm. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the group, Rich.
Thanks.
Go ahead and state your name and your addiction, and we'll get this all taken care of. It'll be painless.
Well, my name is Richard Webster. I'm addicted to a very specific type of pornography, but I won't tell you what it is. But it's highly specialized, highly specific, and it does involve very, 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 very tall men. I'll just say that. Anyway,
I thought it was going to be digital sheep.
I was playing Age of Empires before for Extra Life, like warming up. I'm getting ready.
Nice. Yeah, very nice. And we're going to go through, by the way, kind of what we're thinking about playing. So hold that thought. Rich, this is your first Extra Life, correct?
Yes, first ever taking part.
Right, yeah, well, you already fucked up a little bit and not joining the team, but that's okay. We'll let it slide.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all good. Mm. I technically wasn't on the VG Hub team the first year I did this either, so that's okay.
Okay.
All right, and also on the podcast, Mr. Mark Wright with the shiny new beer can ears.
Mm, yeah. Yep. Hello.
Doogie.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want them so shiny, but because it was so cheap, I didn't have a choice in color. So
what are those monsters in Doctor Who? What are they called?
Oh God, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Cyberman. Cyberman.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, also a little bit C-3PO-ish.
Well, he's gold.
No, but he has the
Cyberman. Doctor Who. Cyberman. Right. Mm. Oh. Yeah. All right. I'll get this up on the stream for Greg.
I'm going to have to rewatch this, apparently. I'm not watching the stream
anymore. No, I ain't got it on yet. I've got to find
God,
one first.
This is going so well. I give us about 3 out of 10 right now.
We're professional.
this is a loosey-goosey podcast. This was something that we decided out of the goodness of our hearts to do for our listeners because we thought, you know what? There may be those that just want something to listen to. So why not listen to a bunch of rambling people trying to get their act together for a good, 20, 30 minutes or so? We'll eventually talk about something important. But yeah,
props.
No. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So outside of Twiggy beer cans, Mark, are you finally ready for Extra Life as well?
Just about, yeah. Been working on my stream overlays and all my alerts and everything for the donations and that. So, yeah, I think I'm all ready set to go now. I've just got to go out tomorrow, get some Pepsi Max, get some pizzas in, a few snacks, and I'm ready to roll.
Mm.
Excellent.
I have an interesting setup this year because my eldest, Joshua, is doing Extra Life with his team this year, his team of guys.
Oh, really?
So it's the first year I've allowed him to go the whole hog. The challenge is where I have my big screen where I usually sit for Extra Life, you can't it's at the far end. It's in the West Wing, and no matter how loud I have it generally or how loud I talk, no one can hear anything from there. That's so far away from all the bedrooms.
Right.
So but Joshua's room is down in the East Wing, and he's in the middle of a couple of rooms, and come 11 or 12 o'clock at night, he will not be able to go through the night without, he'll be talking to his mates like ourselves, chatting away.
Right.
So come about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, we'll be moving out here. So I think tomorrow he's not going to use my rig. He's going to set up his own full rig with multiple screens and all his bits and bobs. And I'll be coming out to the man cave to play on a little 40-inch screen instead of a 9-foot one. So it'll be a bit different for me this year, but we'll be both together through the night in the man cave. So
is Josh streaming, or is your internet not well enough to do it?
I better not be, because I need to be able to at least talk and play. You know, no doubt he's going to... The way he plays is... It's funny watching the kids these days, because he's playing away at mad. And as me and Screen, it'll be the game. On the right-hand screen, he'll have 5 or 6 boxes like we have right now up, and a Skype call or a Discord call or whatever it is he's using on the funky kids these days. So, and they'll all be chatting away, but there'll be video feeds up of everybody. So God knows what he's got planned, but he may have to curtail some of that, because we have to share.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other part of it for me is, as we were chatting on the chat, was downloading updates. Again, a lot of us are Xbox guys. So again, games that we were playing, things like Halo, which has now, almost was it 19 gigabyte, 20 gigabyte download update
big,
for me.
It's a big download.
I did fire up the other one that you mentioned.
Destiny, Gears, Titan.
Terrorist Hunt.
Rainbow Six.
So that seems okay. It fired up. It started okay. So that must be an update for that. So, yes. So, yeah, the main one is Halo, because Halo will be good fun. Must fire up Gears as well. Maybe it's...
Gears is a big one.
Check that. So, I mean, game-wise...
Pretty sizable update.
Team games. You know, Halo, Forza, Gears, Terrorist Hunt, Siege. They all sound great for late-night stuff, early stuff. To keep us all going and keep us all, you know, and hopefully lots of people will jump in and out of the chat. Have we decided yet? You know, if a lot of stuff is Xbox, I know Rich is on PC a lot, so he's going to be on a different thing. He'll not be in Xbox chat.
Can he not join the Xbox chat through the Xbox app on Windows 10? I know when Hadley, Dan and Amros played Gears with us, they used their PC and they were joining our Xbox Live party chat.
What do you think about that, Rich? Is that doable?
We'd have to test and see.
Yeah.
We'd have to see. Yeah.
I'll have a go after the podcast.
Yeah. We've got 24 hours to figure it out. Or actually a little bit more than 24 hours. I think it's like around 38, somewhere in there, something like that.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
Well, again, I want it to be, we all want it to be as easy as possible for members of the community and people that drop, to be able to drop in as much as possible. And so we have to be very important, Mark, to give out the very clear about Discord contacts if we are there and our Xbox gamer tags and stuff tonight and whatever Rich needs to do. To be very clear, because we want people to join in, drop in. You know, I know Fraser, the weird Canadian, did that
crazy
last year. And there's quite
Canadian.
A few people. Yeah, he dropped in, quite a bit, and other people, done that quite last year. So let's hope that all happens again.
All right, we're gonna do something fun here, real quickly. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
All of us, when you're planning for Extra Life, we all have a favorite snack or drink or something that we feel is kind of going to be our go-to. So I'm going to start with Rich, and we're all going to name off at least one thing, and hopefully not repeating what other people are doing, that you plan to have at the ready, either for caffeine's sake, drink-wise, or snack-wise. What is going to be one of your go-to items?
I'm going to have... lots and lots of Tetley tea bags, because I'm going to have lots of tea. And muffins. Muffins is my snack of choice. I'm just going to eat muffins all day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Muffins and Tetley tea. By the way, I have a thing of Tetley tea. I have yet to try it.
You need to try it.
I do need to try it.
Black tea with a bit of milk and some sugar is the future. Well, it's the past, but it's the future as well.
Okay.
That's not
if
black
got,
tea.
If he's got milk in it, how's it black tea?
No, like black tea leaves, isn't it? Tetley's like a black tea. It's not a green tea.
Right, okay.
Gotcha. I follow you.
It's a working man's tea. It's a very popular tea over here.
Yeah, Jenny will only drink Tetley's. She loves Tetley's. So at the moment, she's drinking Tetley's and I'm drinking the Yorkshire tea bags Rich brought me the other Saturday. Because I like the Yorkshire tea.
Well, Mark, you're the next person up here. So what is going to be a go-to item for you?
Drink-wise, Pepsi Max or tea. And when I start fading off through the night. A nice strong coffee. I've got a Tassimo coffee machine, so I love a strong coffee. And snack wise, food wise, I like to nibble on dry roasted peanuts.
Okay.
And then meal times, I'm gonna get a couple of pizzas, and Jenny will just throw them in the oven for me. So yeah, dry roasted peanuts because they're nice and easy to nibble on.
And then what?
Easy to nibble on. Sorry.
Oh,
it's my shit.
Sorry, I thought you said that. And they won't, like, you were like leaving us hanging, like they won't, like. They what? They're just easy to nibble on. Kim.
Yeah.
Go-to snack of choice.
Probably for snack, it'll probably be chips or something. Or I don't know, maybe some Halloween candy because I'm sure I'll have some of that laying around. Probably soda for a while, and then like Mark, I'll break out the coffee. Once it gets like midnight on, I'll probably have to keep that going. So.
And
it's just whatever I've got. Yeah. So
I'll have Womble shouting in my ear as well, because Gary DeFelice has talked me and Nicole into doing a raid on Destiny 2 at midnight, which is like the last sort of like 6 hours of my shift, so it's going to be murder for me.
Well, you could do worse than having Womble yelling at you. So, you know.
That's true. You could do worse. Robin?
Hummus. lots of hummus.
It's a healthy alternative.
No bollocks. Traditional.
Don't tell Faith about it. He loves it.
He's typical. he was the man that loved quiche. He was an 80s quiche man. Traditional now for me, that once I get to about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the evening, I'll crack a beer, maybe two beers.
Wow.
And you know, so it'll be maybe two beers of the evening. And then I will always have on standby two cans of Red Bull. And I don't like Red Bull, but when I start to really fade, so probably one of those at 2 a.m. and one at 4 a.m. But my snacking habits have changed somewhat, because it would have been candy and sweeties and bits and pieces. But this year it's going to be things like dried or sort of apricots and pineapple and mango and stuff like that. There, bags of that I'll have around, and that's what I munch on these days. So because I love the nuts, but the nuts.
I'll wait to
the nuts. So
The old problem with the nuts is when they come out of
and of course like Mark, I'll bring, we have a couple of pod coffee machines, so there'll be a pod coffee machine out here and I'll be coffeeing it up. Try to be sensitive. And then I suppose in the middle of the night I also try to actually have something warm rather than snacking, so I'll have good, it could be something as simple as a pot noodle or some sausage rolls or just something warming, like a bit of mini meal, because I think it's important. Again, the old technique of every hour or every couple of hours going away and brushing the old teeth and freshening up a bit is always a great help.
Yeah, it's important, especially at our ages, apart from Rich and Kim, to get up every sort of like hour and a half, just have a walk around and stretch your legs so you don't end up with a deep vein thrombosis.
Anyway.
Someone died last year, do you remember?
What, for extra life?
Yeah, some guy just died midstream. He got up to get a drink, never came back to his thing, and died. He was only about 29 or something.
Was it deep vein thrombosis, was it, or what? Something like that? Or
something like arteries, blood, heart, something like that, just fucking boom, gone. So I've been telling everyone, this is like going to war, what we're doing.
I remember years ago, there was a thing in the news about a Korean gamer in an internet cafe. And he'd been dead for about 2 days. And everyone's just playing StarCraft.
Just sitting at the station.
Yeah. And just playing StarCraft, and he's been sat there dead for 2 days.
It is very important, and anybody that is doing this, you do have to get up for a few minutes every hour.
Yeah,
and
take a break.
That guy that died of deep vein thrombosis, that's something that people will get that will be susceptible to that on a long haul flight. Jenny like sit for 10 or 12 hours in the plane. So it's important to keep the blood moving. Definitely masturbation halfway through the night several times is a good help.
That puts me to sleep, Robin.
Mastication. Sorry, eating something.
That's going to get tricky with your son in the room, Robin.
Well, we did that spit in the fractured butthole, you know. He was showing me how to do the lap dance at EGX. That was awkward. Awkward.
So I guess that leaves me. So snack-wise, probably I am going to try and do – I can't say a healthier version. I mean, we've got a shitload of candy left over from Halloween. So, you know, any need for sugar, I've got plenty of it. But I probably will pick up some corn nuts, which I don't know that you guys have these over in the UK or not.
Nice.
But they're a crunchy snack. Basically, they're kind of like fried corn kernels, but they're super crunchy. And one thing I have found, when you are getting tired, if you have something that is extremely crunchy to eat, it wakes you up. Those are my go-to on long drives. So I figure I will probably invest in some corn nuts for this 24-hour gaming marathon.
Very good.
Yeah, you don't want too many
Rockstar.
Yeah, you don't want it too much candy early on and coffee early on, because you'll get a crash halfway through. You want to sort of like back end of a session, don't you, really?
I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be cleaning out our cage on Sunday afternoon. It does really throw you. I mean, for several days, I mean, I know on the Sunday morning, I generally don't get an opportunity to just crash, because there's five kids to get sorted out here. So I'll generally afterwards go and have a shower, and get a bit of breakfast, and then do the kids. And then by mid-morning, I'll crash for maybe go to bed for usually, I think last year was about 2 hours, and then get up and away you go, and have your day and do your best to stay up to a decent time.
Yep.
So you don't wake up in the middle of the night again. So yeah, it's good. Look, these are coping techniques for this.
You can pull it off, I would definitely recommend, actually, once you are done with your 24-hour gaming marathon, not to fall asleep, to actually try and just stay awake. You know, take it easy, obviously, but just because it's going to completely mess with your sleep pattern. If you fall asleep for an extended period of time, then you wake up, say, you know, late evening, you're going to be screwed trying to go back to sleep. So
It's funny talking to people about Extra Life still. I mean, I know this is my fifth year, I believe, now, sixth year. I'm not sure, fifth or sixth. I changed my email address. It says 3 years, but there was another couple of years before then, and I never amalgamated the accounts. Or anyway, in my office down in my head office, I have a big sponsorship sheet up, and thankfully it's getting nicely filled. You know, and there's lots of money being added to that from all our staff, and it's lovely. But even talking to some of them about what I'm doing, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, I don't know. That's the last thing I'd want to do." You know. Well, I used to play games young when I was younger, and some of it was one of the girls yesterday saying, "Oh yeah, I used to play Tony Hawk's." I can't imagine playing Tony Hawk's for 24 hours. As if things have moved on, there's a lot of muggles out there have no idea the depth of gaming, and they're still oblivious to it all, and they're still thinking it's a basic little shooty game or a little Mario game or whatever it may be. I think the depth of gaming is more mainstream, but there's still a lot of people, maybe it's people our age, maybe the younger ones have more of an understanding, but the ones at our age that don't get it at all, they think it's still Space Invaders.
Yeah,
right.
Oh yeah, how hard that is going to play playing games.
That was my plan, was to play Space Invaders, Pac-Man, Centipede.
That would
grew up on Pac-Man. Yeah. Pac-Man was basically
I could play Galaxian for 24 hours. Love that game. All right.
What's our totals at the moment, Greg? You know, where are we?
Great question.
I've just updated it.
Totals.
And how do people donate? Yeah.
Well, there's first of all, a number of ways they can donate. Probably the easiest way is to go to extralife.org. And then you have the ability to search for a person's name or a team name. Our team name is VG Hub. And so that's V as in Victor, G as in George, and then the word hub, H-U-B, all one word. Just look for VG Hub, and then you'll find the roster of everybody on our team, excluding Mr. Richard Webster. But Richard Webster, you are also findable via your name.
Yep, Richard Webster. I'm the guy in a black and white, I look like a supermodel, I'll just say. Black and white photo.
Right. Yeah. Obviously. Calvin Klein supermodel, Richard Webster. Mm. Yep, yep.
But yeah, Extra Life to date. Anyway.
Just go to Extra Life, look up our names, find somebody you want to donate to. Even if it's not one of us, I mean, okay, you should donate to one of us, but if you don't, you just want to donate, find somebody, donate. It's such a great cause.
Yeah. And, don't try to use right it like now, like Tinder, though. It doesn't work like Tinder. It's the worst kind of Tinder. I found out the hard way.
It is absolutely a horrible
I sent Mark $25 before, right, hoping for, you know, something. It doesn't work like that. It just goes into like some charity thing.
Yeah. Whoa. Sorry. I'm sorry. I've just looked at the total. Whoa. Yeah.
We are up to $4,264.
Cool.
So we are just short of our goal of 5,000. I just got word. I know I'll be hitting my newest stretch goal of 1,400. So I'm pretty excited about that. And we're doing well as a team. There's been some last minute, or I should say final stretch donations happening, which is great. And Robin, it sounds like you're going to have a bunch of donations.
Yeah, well. I'm definitely at target this year because I think there'll be from staff in the office, I think there's going to be $300 or $400. And then family here haven't donated yet. So, I'll be definitely over the 1,000 anyway. But what the hell, Delacy? What is it? I tried to... 33 cents. I'm on $515, 33 cents. And when I seen that, do you know what I tried to do? I tried to go and give you 1 cent, but it wouldn't let me do it. It wouldn't. I thought, yeah, there must be an absolute minimum. We can't put in... Right. That must be an exchange rate thing. Did you do it in pounds? Or how did you get the point?
I donated over a dollar. That was the first key. So I gave you $5.
Oh, and then you paid for the transaction.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, look, everybody has something in their pot at the moment.
Yes.
And I mean, Mark as well. They thought, I'm doing nothing. And
yeah, well, but I'm nothing. Now.
It's coming in, and you too, Kim. So that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I just need to get my head in. Bennett Seacrest and the Wallowitz family. Every year, well, Bennett Seacrest is new. The Wallowitz family, they've done it before, but who is that again?
He's a member of LAG, Lousy at Gaming. He's a good friend of Gary DeFelice and the LAG members. Kim knows him quite well. Yeah, he's a good guy, and he's in our team now. He's actually donated to me as well, personally. So thank you, Bennett.
Yeah, so there's been lots of really, really good social media stuff going on, making use of the tools in this here. And I see, like, Phil Olson has done extremely well with 24 odd donations there. Oh, yeah, it's great to see it. It is heartwarming.
I have to say, I think this is the first year I've seen multiple people using this, all the different social media tools, using kind of what Extra Life, because Extra Life does give you a lot of tools to try and kind of promote yourself and take advantage of things. And this is the first year where I've really seen kind of across the board everybody kind of making that effort. I even saw, you know, thank you emails coming from different people, you know, as they were getting in donations, that kind of thing, as well as you know, promoting themselves for the drive. So it's been great to see.
Cool. Excellent.
All right. So how about we talk a little bit about let's do something fun first before we dive into kind of what we're planning on playing. I think everybody needs a good list. And while we're going to be talking about our own gaming lists, I think this is a fine time to break out a list about gaming-related charities. Mark, you came up with the top five list for us.
Yep. So there's a mixture of US and UK ones. So these are in no particular order because they're all fantastic. They all do a fantastic job raising money for kids around the world. So the top five gaming charities, what we all are sort of like a part of in the VG Hub particularly. And we've got Extra Life, obviously, because we're doing that this Saturday. There's Games Aid, which I know the midlife gamer people are big on supporting. Special Effect, which is another great UK charity.
I just want to, by the way, point out that charity in particular. I am super, super happy about that charity. Mm. I was deeply saddened to find out. We don't really have an equivalent over here in the U.S. as of yet. But I'm hoping that will change, because that is specifically around special needs gamers.
Yeah. Yeah,
and helping them game.
Yeah, adapted controllers and stuff. Yeah.
If I can interject there as well, Special Effect would always be at EGX and a lot of the gaming shows. And we have just sent some video footage off to them for Glenn, because Glenn he's not really dexterous, but he can, if you understand, have on off buttons. You know, so he can switch things on, switch things off, a big button, and he will move a controller to move the Minecraft man around, or you know, stuff like that. There, so they asked us to put a video together of him playing and the way he plays, and they're going to come back with some suggestions for us and help us to see if there's some way they can modify a controller to make it maybe a Mario Kart. You know, and make it go forward, you know, or, you know, so it'll be very interesting. So Special Effect, although they're a charity, yes, they are a charity, they raise money, but all of the money goes to help kids with disabilities or blind people or people that have to control games with their mouth, that have, you know, that all of a sudden kids in a wheelchair that can't move at all can play video games and be part of that group, part of the people that are around them. When I think Special Effect is absolutely awesome, and they're so lovely when you go to talk to them at the shows. Absolutely fantastic.
I think we were actually talking about because this is sort of like late, this is like autumn time, fall time for Extra Life. We were talking about a while ago that maybe in the springtime we'll do something like this for Special Effect. So we'll have to get our heads together and get something planned for that.
Springtime for Special Effects and the Fatherland.
And the other two are, this one's quite a big charity. I think this is US and UK. I've seen a lot of streamers play for this. It's St. Jude's Play Live, which is a big charity. And one charity, what people forget is actually a charity, and that's Humble Bundle. Mm-hmm. Even though it's been recently bought by IGN, it's still doing its charity
thing. For how long?
Yeah, but at the moment, I do subscribe, and Rich does, to the monthlies. It's a great cause, and they do have some great sort of like spontaneous Humble Bundles out there. So if you can, buy from them.
I believe the only things that IGN changing, which are perfectly fine, they're not going to support minorities any longer, and it's just for white Americans. So that's the only change IGN are going to make.
That's the way it has to be, you know? Yeah. Soz.
So yeah, there are
horrible.
No, that's not true at all.
Tons more charities out, gaming related charities out there. There's Able Gamers and some others, and each one's worthy of your support. So any other sort of like noteworthy ones you guys know of off the top of your head, which is
the real big two with I should say the big three, because I knew Humble Bundle still was a charity, but I do question how long it's going to keep its charity status. We'll see. But Extra Life and Special Effect, those two in particular, both, you know, kind of ring true in my heart. So.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just looking at this little one here, one of the chaps, one of the midlife gamer guys. It's, it's Finicky Baptist Church, I believe. And they have, 24 hours, it's actually the Low Church in Finicky. And they have a fantastic facility there, and some of the guys from Midlife Gamer from Belfast are involved in this, and they do their 24-hour gaming in the church, and it's video games and board games, and that starts tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, they go tomorrow, because of course they're not going to do it on through Sunday, I suppose. But they have a gaming hub there, and all the screens, and they have virtual reality stuff, and they've been doing this for a few years, and that all of that money goes to good causes there as well. So that's a good local one here in Belfast, that they outreach stuff there. So They've actually asked me to drop in tomorrow evening, so we'll see if I have time to go in and stick my head in and give them a shout. So yeah, so there's lots of things happen locally as well for local charities.
When you go and you give them a shout, do you just run into the building and yell at them, or how does that work?
I just generally run in and shout Allah Akbar and run back out again. So
I'm sure that goes over very well.
Well, they asked me to drop in and say, hi, how he's getting on and all that sort of stuff. So I might do that if I'm in Belfast tomorrow and it's there. If I get the chance, I'll drop in and throw some money in their pot, I suppose. Yeah, good. Lots of people doing good things for good causes. And this stupid thing called playing games. Huh?
Stupid or art form, Robin? Come on.
No, it's way, this is way a new of life. Art form. Yeah, art form, way of life, social. Yeah. It's great. I love it. I hope doing it when I'm old. Or
one topic. So this just reminded me. There was some news from this past week. Obviously, we had Paris Game Event that took place. Sony had a big, press conference. They announced some things at that press conference. I don't have it all in front of me, so I'm actually pulling it up as we're speaking. But one of the big things that came out of the press conference was there was some criticism over some of the trailers they showed. Two of the trailers in particular depicted more or less domestic violence or violence against young kids. There's a Last of Us 2 trailer that had a very brutal scene of somebody getting their elbow smashed with a hammer. And that was a young girl that was getting her elbow smashed with a hammer. And then Detroit Become Human, that game depicted basically domestic violence from a father against a child. It didn't show it outright, but it insinuated. And a lot of people, I think, rightly or wrongly, depending upon where you sit on the fence on this, I guess, took some exception to that. And it kind of raised the question to me of, is it more effective in your eyes being very gratuitous in showing violence? Or is it more effective to you when it's implied?
Do you know what? Some of the old horror movies that there were, some of them that didn't have the big budget for special effects were terrifying when there was a suggestion that the monster was just around the corner and it was done with music. And the same thing can apply here. What I would be frightened of here, that this is more of people, this politically correct madness coming in to soften games, to ignore this. I think it would be worse to ignore domestic violence and things like that if it was about domestic violence, a very, very important subject. But to not have it in any game whatsoever would be to say that never happens. I think it's more important to have stuff like that than to draw attention to how wrong it is. I'm sure it's not there to be gratuitous. If it is there just for shock value, it's wrong. If it's there to draw people's attention to this is something that shouldn't happen, this is something that we shouldn't get involved in because it's why it's so bad. I agree that it should be there. But if it's there for just for titillation, that's wrong.
What's the difference between sorry, can't finish, mate.
Sorry. Saying that, chopping up thousands of zombies and, chainsawing things and shooting people in the head and cod and all that there, hopefully the majority of us can separate fantasy and reality. But when some of the stories are becoming more realistic, like I was talking to you before, it's not all Tony Hawk's and Space Invaders. The depth of these games and how powerful some of the storytelling is it makes it a big difference now. But the fantasy reality thing, your Mass Effects, which is, and your COD, which that doesn't really happen. But when you get into real storylines there, I hope it's there for a purpose. Oh, sorry, Rich, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to touch on that point that you just raised then, that we see a lot of other types of violence in games already and have done for decades now. I can play Rise of Nations now and drop a nuclear bomb on a town and kill loads of civilians. We did that in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in real life, but I can do it in a game as well. In COD, I think it was with Modern Warfare 2, the terrorist level at the airport. Right.
They gave you the option. No Russian?
Mm. Yeah, they gave you the option to skip it, but that was there.
Right.
And I know. Like, we haven't really seen like rape and, you know, domestic violence, but you can do a lot of stuff similar in GTA. You can just run over a load of women. You can have sex with a woman.
There's a big torture scene in GTA.
Yeah, you can have sex with a woman and then you can kill her and then take her money. And then there's that torture scene, like with, like you just said, with Trevor. That's quite uncomfortable. Right. So I think as a society, that the line was drawn years ago and it's been moving further and further away ever since. And I think we're going to get to a point where literally nothing's off the table apart from maybe like child porn and that's it. I would prefer if they were going to do this sort of stuff that it was done in a tasteful, important way to raise the issue. Going back to the implication thing that you raised, Greg, like I remember the children in need, not children in need, but the Childline adverts back in like the early 90s where they'd show a kid on the stairs in nothing but a t-shirt and like a bruise on his face. Right. And like that is powerful enough. You don't have to see the mum like twatting the kid around the face to know that's happening. So I think that there are ways you can do it without showing it. I think for those sorts of things, especially because they hit quite personal, we weren't personally involved in Nagasaki. Dropping a nuke for us isn't really anything. But if you were a victim of domestic violence, then seeing it or whatever, that might be a bit weird.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting. Kim, Mark, any thoughts on your end? I know it's a pretty deep topic I just kind of threw out there. Sorry.
No, I watched the Last of Us 2, the trailer, and it was pretty brutal, pretty out there. And I will admit, watching her with that, taking the hammer to her elbows and breaking her arms, I cringed. I mean, I just kind of like, oh, God, I know what's going to happen. And then the other chick come along with the knife, and you were like, well, is she going to stab her? Is she going to cut her throat? What is she going to do? But then you got to realize, too, The Last of Us, it's kind of that kind of game, you know, it's right. Set where, what is it, zombies or whatever. I haven't played it, so, you know, pardon me. But okay, I do know
Yeah, we watched that film. What was the film about the writer and Kathy Bates is addicted to him.
Misery.
Misery. Misery. Yes. I mean, the bit where she takes the sledgehammer to his ankles, spoilers, you know, that was one of the most cringeworthy moments in any movie. You can feel it. Did that movie need it? Maybe not, but it really added some flavor to that. So violence has its place because people do crazy things. And I think games have a responsibility to reflect some of the horrible stuff that's out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right as well to say, like, you know, somebody that was in a terrorist atrocity that's playing a game that something reminds them, that must be very difficult for people like that, because we don't understand that, you know, if somebody that was in 9/11 or in New York recently and all of a sudden, you know, there's some section of a game, and I'm sure there is some section of a game where downtown New York, people are getting shot or killed or whatever it may be. I'm sure that's distasteful at the moment for that. So, do we go back to simplicity of games and don't tackle these hard subjects?
Well, I don't think we avoid tackling the hard topics. I guess from my perspective, or the reason why I was raising the question was, you know, I'm of two minds on it. One, you know, showing the gratuitous violence, you know, showing the moment where the hammer strikes that elbow and it just, you know, it gets a little pulpy. That is really horrible to see. And you see that and you cringe. But, you know, and I think back to the movie Misery. You know, it was a great analogy, Robin, you brought up. You know, you see Kathy Bates, she swings the sledgehammer against his foot and you see it go sideways and it's just absolutely cringeworthy. And I wonder if, in those moments, if the scene had played out of you see Kathy Bates rearing back to throw the hammer, and instead of showing the hammer striking the foot, we hear the crack and we're focused in on his face and the pain that hits his face. You know, in this instance, in the Last of Us 2 trailer, could it have been showing, panning up and showing the man with the hammer hammering down, hearing the sounds, and then
the other part,
to the girl?
The other part of that is The Last of Us 2 isn't real. It's a zombie apocalypse.
No, of course not.
It's a fantasy world where people are crazy and bad. That's where people lift that piece out of it and apply it to daily life now. Generally, that's not going to happen. These are crazy people doing crazy things in a crazy time.
Right.
You know, it's sci-fi, it's fantasy, it's how... Yeah, if the nuclear bomb dropped in L.A. right now, or, you know, tonight, in 10 or 15, as soon as we're finished, right? And you survived, and that, you know, there was survivors out there. We would end up being very different people. I've seen the postman. You know that photocopier salesman. He was the head of the rebels. You know, so you just.
Well, I think so. Let me dial this back in just a skosh, because I think my question, and I did maybe a poor job of positioning it, because I think what I'm curious about is, could it be more effective not showing the explicit violence versus implying that explicit violence? It's just a technique, basically, a film technique.
I like that. I prefer that.
In my head, when I hear about domestic violence and I see somebody taking a kid up to go beat them and I hear it, but I don't see it, in my mind, I'm running through what horrors are happening up there. And I think that is as bad, if not worse, than what they're probably going to show me on screen.
I suppose what I'm frightened of is, where does that leave games like Grand Theft Auto? Where does that leave Call of Duty? Where does that leave those violent, semi-realistic looking games? You know, are they all going to be edited to death now, you know, over the next 10 or 15 years?
Where does it leave our movies? It's the same dilemma.
You know, no Dustin Hoffman, no Kevin Spacey, you know, all of that stuff. That's all those things that they've been involved in and done years ago, and when times are different, and it doesn't excuse what they did, but that's all going to have an effect on everything that happens in social media and movies and TV, you know. And I'm almost sad that it may just, everything becomes a little cleaner than we actually are.
Yeah, but sometimes ignorance is a little bliss.
Fuck me. Jesus Christ.
That's a heavy topic. Sorry.
I've not seen this trailer. I've got this trailer on stream now, and it is brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like, so, just my little two penny focus on Yes, Amelia. I think if the game's done right, and it's essential to the story, and I think it's okay. I know The Last of Us Part 1, that had quite a brutal start to it, but it was relevant to the story. Same with Assassin's Creed Origins, that's got quite a bit of a brutal part to it, which you don't expect. Well, I didn't expect. But it's all in with the story, and if it's done well in a storytelling way, that's okay. If it's just gratuitous for gratuitous sake, then it shouldn't be there, really, but... If you've got a good storyteller like Naughty Dog,
you should take another movie again, like a Bond movie, like Casino Royale, where he's sitting in the bottomless seat and he's getting tickled with a golf ball. Yeah, and that was really gratuitous, and it was. You remember that, and that was part of the story, and I think it would have been probably less if it hadn't have been that as gritty as that. So there is a need for some of it.
But in fairness, Robin, they didn't take that as far as they could have. I mean, you saw him sitting there naked on the chair. You saw him swinging the rope with the ball. But you never actually saw, you know, the impact. You heard it.
We felt it.
You saw the motions. Of course. Of course. That was it. And I guess that's what I was getting at is in that moment,
it's implied,
that was probably more powerful or as powerful as literally showing the connection.
Yeah. It's like, I know it's slightly different, but like with horror games, a lot of the scary bits are the tension and the build up, the anticipation of something happening. And when, and usually nothing does happen. It's just giving you that anticipation and fear.
So a game we could say that was gratuitous for gratuitous sake was Modern Warfare 2 and the No Russian scene in the airport. Really?
Yeah.
You know, what purpose did that have apart from to show how ruthless these guys were? So, you know, they could have said these guys just killed 50 people or 100 people in an airport.
They could have easily shown it as the elevator door opened, you heard a bunch of gunfire, and they cut away to the after effect, like they did when you skipped the scene.
Yeah.
So, but they decided to create hype. They wanted to have that scene be playable.
And again, we keep on going. Sniper Elite, when you do the ball shot, what we all laugh about. I mean, that's gratuitous stuff for the sake of it. But we all go, yeah, got a ball shot. Anyway, so let's hope. I just hope that the sensors don't get the grip of everything too much, and it does turns into this big brother society of everything is like Australia that is completely whitewashed to what you can play. So,
all right. Well, let's.
Anyway,
let's push forward here real quickly. Yeah. I know it's late on your end, guys. So I did want to cover real quickly the Sony press conference. Let's just walk through the games that got announced or shown off. I'll read through them real fast. If you guys want to say something, say something. They started off with Ghost of Tsushima, which very much reminds me of Onimusha, if you remember that game. It's a new Sucker Punch game. Looks pretty fantastic. Looks like it's set in feudal Japan. They showed off a new God of War trailer for God of War 4, and it's God of War in Last of Us kind of scene. I mean, it's over the shoulder. It's very different than God of War has been in the past. I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm not sold on the son, by the way, the sidekick son. Not sold on him at all. They showed off Monster Hunter World, exclusive character featuring Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn. So that'll be playable. Then they showed off the Detroit Become Human trailer. Their Quantic Dreams, they always make fantastic looking games. So this game, again, top notch, looks fantastic. And it seems like it is now very much going in the direction of dealing with some kind of domestic violence issues. Then Spider-Man, the new Insomniac game, that looks fantastic. They
that looks
that
amazing.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then they had the Last of Us 2, cinematic trailer. And then the Shadow of Colossus remake, that also looks, you know, Shadow of Colossus always was a fantastic game and it just looks even better now. Then they had the, Horizon Zero Dawn, the Frozen Wild, update or DLC trailer. That was shown off, and that was more or less it for kind of the big hitters. They had some indie games like Guacamelee 2 and Spelunky 2. They were all kind of there, but those were the main hitters from the press conference. I think a solid press conference for a game show that really doesn't have a lot of traction to it.
Those big AAAs, are they all 2018 bound, or when they?
Oh, your guess
on?
Is as good as mine.
Right. All right.
I'm pretty sure most of these were listed as being in 2017 at one point, with the exception of Ghost of Tsushima. That was the newest game. That was the unannounced game that got revealed. But everything else was kind of known, just not known kind of when it was going to be hitting. But I'm pretty sure a good portion of these will hit in 2017 or 2018.
Known unknowns. But the other big news this week, Greg.
Yes.
Next Tuesday is a very big day.
I go to New York Day.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there's
nothing's happening Tuesday.
Yeah, well, not for me anyway, because it'll probably plug the bloody thing in and it needs a mega update and I'll not get playing
it. Send it to me, I'll update it for you, Robin.
Yeah, probably faster. Post it there and post it back. Yeah. Probably would be. So, of course, Xbox One X, Scorpio editions all land. For us, I suppose it's not just Scorpio edition, it's everybody's Xbox One X, but those of us lucky enough to get the Scorpio edition are landing on Tuesday. So very excited about that. And all of the updates are coming through. The new dashboard update as well, of course, is something we could briefly touch on with the game gifting. We've already gifted a game. Mark, yeah. I gifted a game to Mark yesterday. Unfortunately, he already has it.
Yeah, this is a bit of a problem, actually, because I know on Steam, if you try to give someone a game, correct me if I'm wrong, Rich, it actually says that person's already got that game, doesn't it?
I think it does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But with the Xbox version, I know it's in preview, but like I said, Robin sent me a game, and I'd actually bought it recently in a sale. So it let him send it to me. Luckily, you have to redeem the code, and I didn't redeem it, so that code he can use for someone else.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I got an Xbox Live message.
Can you refund that?
Well, on IGN, when I was listening to him today, Greg, they actually said that they worked very closely with the dashboard team, that if you send a game to someone else that already has it, there should be an option there to send it back or to turn it down, to decline the gift.
Okay, gotcha.
But that's maybe just not implemented yet in the preview.
Or maybe Mark just kept the code anyway.
No, the only options I had was to delete the message or redeem the code. So I might give that code away on my stream. No, I'm joking.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I think everybody should get to play Guns, Gore & Clooney. One of the strange things about the gifting was it comes up and it says that you can't gift. I have to gift within the European Economic Area or whatever there. Come on, roll on Brexit. I couldn't gift you guys in America a game.
Right.
But as Greg said, because you game share with Mark, if it appears on Mark's list, you'll get to play it there as well. So you can play Guns, Gore & Clooney.
I think the reason why they're doing that is they're trying to avoid potentially thievery, so to speak, or people doing getting around, kind of getting the cheaper game. So, they're trying.
Like we do now, Greg.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's always cheaper on the US store.
Cheaper, yeah, you could buy it and then just gift it over. Yeah, that would make sense.
Right.
That's a bit cheap as well.
It's like a lot of PC gamers buy from Brazil, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a nice feature to have. And there's some more little improvements to the dashboard. The dashboard is running faster on the standard Xbox One, so it should be as slick as slickness on the X. So the other thing that they talked about this week was PUBG. And PUBG is now was it the 12th of December?
12th of December,
So
what a piss poor bloody show they did, though. It was so amateurish. Everything was going wrong. The audio was wrong. Aaron Greenberg, he had no charisma about him. It was an awful presentation. Absolutely awful.
Aaron Greenberg's probably my least favorite executive on the Microsoft team now.
The best thing was the T-shirt, what Mr. Unknown had on. That was awesome. I loved that T-shirt. It said, winner, winner, chicken dinner. And it had one out of 99 in the top corner.
Nice. Do we know, is PUBG, the Xbox version, is it just going to be Xbox or is it going to be cross-compatible?
Initially, he said, he said initially it will be its own entity, but eventually when the Xbox version catches up with the PC version, because there are obviously development cycles on these, they will eventually be parity between the two and then they eventually may have cross-play. They didn't rule it out.
Okay.
But it says there's a lot of work to do on it at the moment.
It's also getting a disc, hard copy disc release, which is very odd.
Is it?
So like a preview is actually getting a hard a disc, so you can go into the shops and buy it.
That's unusual.
Right. Yeah, and I also heard
they're going to be moving all of the PUBG game clients off of the Amazon cloud servers onto the Azure cloud servers run by Microsoft. So Microsoft's doing a lot of investment on this game. I think
That's clever.
This reminds me a lot of Minecraft, the path that Minecraft took. And I'm kind of curious to see if Microsoft ends up making a move here.
Cool.
They're investing a lot in this game.
Yeah, that's cool. They put them into those servers. It's harder for them to get away, and they're tied in. And yeah, clever.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Rich, I know you were waning here a little bit, so I want you to run down what are your plans for games that you're going to play on Extra Life Day. And we're going to walk through those real quickly, and we'll kind of wrap the show up. I know we're getting into it. Rich, you're muted.
I am unmuted now. That's fine. I'm hoping to get into some City Skylines, Age of Empires, Rise of Nations, PUBG, maybe some Battlefield, maybe some Sonic Mania. I'm just going to try and keep it fresh.
All right, now when we're talking Battlefield, are we talking Battlefield 4, Battlefield Hardline, Battlefield 1?
Probably Battlefield 4, because I'm terrible at Battlefield 1.
I hear you there.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, excellent. So are you thinking, is your strategy going to be the single-player stuff early on, multiplayer stuff late, or reverse? Or just kind of what you're feeling?
Probably that. I might start off. I might first thing early do some single player, and then afternoon, evening, multiplayer. And then we'll see how we get on from that. PUBG will keep me awake for a while, so I'm thinking PUBG could be the one for playing at like 9 o'clock at night. You know?
All right. And for those looking for your Twitch stream or your, you know, where they can find you, how do they find you?
Well, I'll be tweeting stuff at Real Rich Webster on Twitter, but if you want to find me on Twitch, my Twitch is BBD Games, Big Bad Daddy Games, it means. BBD Games.
Awesome. Mm. Excellent. All right. Kim.
Yes.
What is your plan for Extra Life? Well, 24 hours of Gems of War?
Yes. You caught me right there, Kim.
No, I saw your list. No. You have quite a few games.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a thrown together thing because I'm still not really sure. I'll know more when I wake up Saturday and be like, okay, what do I want to play? But I thought I'd since last year, I played a lot of Witcher 3, and you know, everybody sat through hours of Witcher 3, which I haven't finished, but I won't subject you to that this year. So I thought I'd you know, there'll be I've got Wolfenstein over there, The New Order, Shadow of Mordor, Darksiders, Titanfall 2. Like you said, probably later at night when we're all struggling to stay awake, Gears 4. You know, I've got Battlefield 1. I may fire that up because I still have to beat the campaign on that. And there'll probably be some Cuphead thrown in there somewhere. So.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Robin Tate. Wait. Real quickly. Well, hold on. Kim, are you going to be streaming? Yeah. Is that the plan? Or?
I don't know yet. If I do, I'll throw it out there on Twitter. You know, because I've got the, you know, mixers on the Xbox, so I may give that a go and see how it works. So we'll see.
Perfect. All right. Mm-hmm. Robin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I will not be streaming. I will give regular updates on my Facebook page and maybe even on the blog, maybe the odd little video clip, stuff like that there, because I just can't do streaming. But you will be able to find me wherever Mark is and Greg is. I will be in the chat, so you will hear me if you don't see me. But I'll be definitely in and around for that whole 24 hours. Mark, you're going to be speaking to me for 24 hours straight.
Yeah.
I will be playing, finishing off Little Nightmares, which I'm playing at the moment. Okay. So through the day, Little Nightmares. Battlefield 1, I have that whole thing to rattle through. The other thing that I've been playing, and I was just walking through Belfast today, and as I walked out of Belfast, I seemed to have Super Mario Odyssey in my hands and a Pro Controller. I don't know how they got there. But
Gremlins.
I managed. And I threw Super Mario Odyssey onto the big screen tonight to play it for 10 minutes. And I think I've played it since about 7:15 until we just came before we came onto the podcast here.
It looks so good.
It is absolutely brilliant. It is awesome. It is smiley. It is just it plays with perspective in so many unexpected and brilliant ways. And yeah, I think I could be playing a lot. I have that piped through my Xbox. So
nice.
On the input, so I'll still be able to stay on chat. And then at night time, of course, it's going to be some Forza, Halo 5, Gears of War, Titanfall 2, Terrorist Hunt, all the multiplayer stuff from midnight, 1 o'clock onwards, I think.
Right.
But through the day, single player and on and into the evening, I'm not going to play Forza Horizon 3 constantly or Forza 7 nonstop for 24 hours like I did last year. No. So, yes, you'll find me on the streams. You won't see me, but you'll hear from me.
Excellent. All right. And Mr. Wright.
I've not really thought about the games I'm going to play yet. Definitely going to be some Assassin's Creed Origins because I'm loving that at the moment. So I'll probably carry on a bit of that single player to start off with. Probably some Forza 7. And if you guys are doing Titanfall 2 multiplayer, I'll definitely jump in on that because I love that game. I've got a Destiny 2 raid with the Sensei Womble MK3 and Gary DeFelice, and Nicole's doing it as well, and David D'Alien and Xavier from LAG. So yeah, we're doing the raid on Destiny. I've not done the raid yet, so that's going to be interesting, especially because it's late on. I'm going to be tired.
Best friend here. No invite. I see how it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not leveled up. You're not high enough level, Greg.
Not even close yet.
Probably just whatever you guys are doing, I'll probably just follow the lead and jump in, whatever. Okay. You can get me on, I'm going to restream it all, so I'll be on three different formats. I'll be on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. On Twitch and Mixer, I am Mechanics. On YouTube, I am Mechanics G4TE, because I can't change my name, it won't let me. Yes, you can get me there. I'm streaming for the full 24 hours, starting at 6 a.m. on Saturday. Yeah.
Oh, 6 a.m.
Yeah, I did that last year and it worked out really well. Before, I've started later, and we're finishing at 6 a.m. It gives me time to get a bit of sleep before Sunday dinner and stuff. So.
I suppose. thinking of the meals.
Yeah, yeah. I will never.
The kids.
I once started at 10 o'clock at night once, and I'll never do that again. Because what you didn't realize is you're awake all day as well, so it's more than 24 hours.
That was made that mistake myself. Yeah, that is a big no.
Yeah,
I know Dan. I think Dan Atman was like, "Oh, do it late at night." It makes it easy. I'm like, "No, it doesn't."
No,
unless you've been sleeping all day, it does not make it easy.
Yeah.
What
about you, Greg?
Plan as of right now, Gears of War 4. Wanting to do the Horde mode again to get to level 50. We got so close last year. That's the last time I literally played that Horde mode in any kind of earnest attempt to get to 50. So I want to do it again this year and get to 50. Forza 7 obviously is going to get some play time. Madden 18, Mr. DeFelice and I have a yearly play date to play some Madden. So we'll be doing that again this year, thanks to the EA Access trial.
I don't want
to
do FIFA again. I don't want no more penalties.
Oh, that was brilliant. We might have to do some
funny.
Yeah, we'll have if we got time, we'll squeeze a game in.
Yeah. I'll probably squeeze in some Destiny 2, even if you guys won't play with me. I'll find somebody to play with me, or just play.
I think Fraser picked it up. I think Fraser just picked it up.
Yeah, Fraser's just great. Fraser Lab, yeah.
I'll play with the Canadian, the crazy Canadian, and then of course Titanfall 2, and likely Call of Duty World War 2 multiplayer. I'll be playing some of that. For sure. I had made a promise to one of my very best friends over here on the West Coast that I would pick it up. So as of today, Mark and I both have Call of Duty World War II.
Brucey bonus.
Nice.
Yes. And then really outside of that, maybe, there'll probably be a little bit of single player action. I might dip into some Assassin's Creed Origins, although I'm thinking I'm going to hold that off until the X comes in.
Oh, it's so good, Greg. It's so good.
So that's pretty much it.
15 hours in now.
Yeah. for me, by the way, I will be streaming on Mixer. I'll be streaming on Twitch. On Twitch, it's OC underscore Murphy's Law. On Mixer, I believe it's just Murphy's Law. It's under my gamer tag, but it could also be OC underscore Murphy's Law. Either way, you'll find me some way or the other. I'll tweet it out when I go live. And yeah, just again, if you are listening to this and you're thinking about either supporting us through donation or supporting us just by playing with us as we're going through this, we really do want your help and need your help. It helps keep us awake. And it motivates us when we do get donations. So look us up. VG Hub is the team name on extralife.org. Find somebody you want on there, smiling face, and make a donation. Or just join us in a chat, in a game. Have fun.
Please.
With that said, I think let's wrap this up, guys, and let's start some sleep cycles for you guys in the UK.
Please.
Again. Thanks for listening to the show. You can catch us every week, more or less on Saturdays. This is a special time, mind you. But usually we broadcast 3 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. in the UK starting this this week. We'll be back on schedule. It is, of course, on Twitch, OC Podcast. And, yeah, Mark, I think we've got an outro thing you need to play.
Just some music, not the Nicole thing.
Why not the Nicole thing?
Okay. You got me confused then.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at OC underscore podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And now you can play that funky music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
Have you ever heard of Extra Life?
Extra Life.
What is Extra Life?
I'll explain it to you real quick.
Extra Life le da la oportunidad a la comunidad gamer de hacer la diferencia recaudando dinero para ayudar a los niños y niñas de Estados Unidos, Canadá y Puerto Rico.
Extra Life is a way for us as a gaming community to give back to our real life communities by raising money for our local Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
Which is a network of hospitals where every kid that goes there is treated regardless of their financial situation.
El 100% de ese dinero se queda local en tu hospital o fundación a la que tú representes.
100% of the proceeds go to your local Children's Miracle Network Hospital, and what's doper than that?
The funds go 100% to those hospitals. They help kids who are sick get treatments, pay for training for their doctors.
Whether it's a broken bone or cancer, no child is turned away.
All you have to do is sign up over at extra-life.org.
Extra-life.org.
Extra-life.org. Sign up.
Join a team, join a guild, or participate solo. Then pick which local Children's Miracle Network hospital you'd like to play for. After that, all you have to do is get friends and family, coworkers, that awesome neighbor down the street to donate to your Extra Life fundraising goal. Heck, you can even convince them to join your team and play along with you to be a hero in real life.
Sign up for Extra Life and become a hero just like me.
Play games and heal kids.